Please join me in saying the Anavakoah. Anavakoah, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yutav Tzadik. Chavel Rinat, Amcha Sagmeinu, Aharenu, Nora, Uprashayim Sintet Nun. Ta Gibor, Dorshei Chutcha, Kivava, Shamren. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Barhen taharen, rakame sikatcha, tami gamlen. Betet resh, tzaditach gimel. Chasim kadosh, irotucha, nael. Adatach et kufet tet nunayim yachid ge'e amcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayim kuf shavateinu kabel ushma tziakateinu Yodea Talumot Shim Kufav Tzadiyut Taf. The Taf that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Chet, which created the constellation Sartan, the constellation of Cancer and of the crab, and also the Chet created the constellation, or created the calendar, the Hebrew calendar of Tammuz. Does anybody have any questions? Well, we are continuing our teaching on the secrets of the future temple. And we are talking right now about the structure of the Mishneh Elyon, or the Mishkaneh Elyon, the heavenly temple. The work begins with an explanation of the relationship between the heavenly temple and its counterpart, the earthly temple, which is a holographic image of the heavenly temple and emanates from it. The Ramchal clarifies the difference between the first, second, and third temples on earth, explaining, among other things, why Ezekiel already saw the vision of the third temple at the time of the destruction of the first, and why the divine presence did not dwell in the second temple. Ramchal then proceeds with a step-by-step tour of the various parts of the sanctuary, temple courtyards, gates, and other buildings, as seen by Ezekiel in his vision. In each case, Ramchal explains how they form, and the very dimensions of each place are bound up with corresponding spiritual lights, sephirot, and holy names in the upper worlds. In the second part of the work, Ramchal explains the order of the temple service, and in particular, the secret of the sacrifices. Every day, the lower realms need to draw close to the upper realms in order that the branches should be connected to the roots. This way, the angels are bound to their roots, and the souls to theirs. It is the animal offering that brings the angels close, while the incense offering brings the souls close. Ramchal's account of how the branches of creation reconnect with their roots through the temple service fulfills his promise to the reader at the outset of the book, to lay these matters before you in a single, all-inclusive introductory work that will enable you to understand the way the world is run and how God gives each day's portion of food and sustenance to all his creatures, each in its proper time. Ramchal's explanation of the sacrificial service also throws light on the deeper meaning and Kabbalistic intentions of the daily prayer service, which correspond to the regular temple sacrifices, and in times of exile, take their place. I haven't commented on this discussion, because when we get into the structure of the actual translation of the book, all of these things will start to become aware. There's lots of things I could comment about, lots of things that are really somewhat controversial in what is being said. But I think I'll hold off on those comments until we get into the book. The next section is titled Five Chapters. After the end of the main body of Ramchal's discourse in Mishkanei Elyon, he says, I will now provide a concise, orderly account of all the measurements of the temple and its courtyards in all their details in five chapters. He follows with five chapters written in the tersely elegant style of Mishnah, summarizing the plan and measurements of all the different temple buildings, courtyards, gates, steps, etc. These five chapters have many parallels to the five chapters of the Mishnah tractate Midot, which explains the plan of the second temple. The Ramchal's five chapters also bear certain resemblance to Rambam's account of the second temple in his Mishnah Torah, Hilchot Beit HaBechira. Thus, at the end of the Mishkanei Elyon, as in quite a number of his other works, Ramchal performs the invaluable service of providing his readers with a clear, concise summary of the entire contents of the main work. It's also another way that the Kabbalists have been known to duplicate their work by summarizing it and reinforcing the teaching by you have continuing to read it again. Keys to the Third Temple is the next section. In Mishkanei, excuse me one second. In the Mishkanei Elyon, Ramchal provides vital keys to understanding both the physical form and the spiritual meaning of the third temple. One without the other is incomplete. We need to understand the spiritual meaning of the physical forms in order to make use of this material in its ultimate level. The Rambam had written, even though the building destined to be built in the future is written about in Ezekiel, it is not explained nor is it clear. Even the Mishnaic sages were perplexed by difficulties in Ezekiel's prophecies, including certain apparent contradictions to the Halakha. In the words of the Talmud, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Haninya ben Hiskia, is most certainly remembered for good. For if he were not for him, the book of Ezekiel would have been removed from the canon, because his words seem to contradict the Torah. What did Hananiah do? They brought him up 300 barrels of oil for light and food, and he sat in an attic and reconciled all the difficulties. Notwithstanding the labors of Hananiah ben Hizkiah, Ezekiel's prophecies remained a closed book for all but the most outstanding of scholars. The account of Ezekiel's vision of the third temple contains many passages whose meaning is extremely hard to determine, even with the help of the classical commentators. Trying to build a picture of the basic design and layout of the temple buildings as seen by Ezekiel can be and is actually a daunting task. The Rav's expression of appreciation for the labors of Hananiah ben Hizkiah can therefore surely be applied to Ramchal, who explained the structure and purpose of the third temple with the crystal clarity of a Rambam. From the day the sanctuary was erected in the wilderness, the temple in its various manifestations has been the focal point of the entire development devotional system of the Torah. It was from the Holy of Holies that Moses and all the later prophets received prophecy. It was to the sanctuary of Shiloh that the childless Hannah went to pour out her heart in whispered prayer, become the model of tefillah, prayer for all time. Hints about the meaning of various aspects of the temple and its services could be found throughout the Zohardic writings and those of the Ari and other Kabbalistic sages, but nowhere in the whole of rabbinic literature is the significance of the temple as a devotional focus for Jews, and indeed all humanity, explained systematically and with such clarity as in Ramchal's Mishkanei Elyon. This is not to suggest that Mishkanei Elyon is easy. It deals with matters that stand at the very summit of the universe, for the temple includes all the Sephirot and all the worlds. A work about the meaning of the temple must necessarily deal with the secrets of Ma'aseh Bereshit and Ma'aseh Merkavah, the chariot of creation and the chariot of the chariot. These matters must be approached with the utmost reverence and humility and with many prayers to God for enlightenment. The question remains, and is now going to be explained, will the temple be ready-made from heaven or built by man? We have prophecies that imply both. Does the third temple come down ready-made and complete from heaven, or do actual people have to build it? According to Rashi, the future temple for which we are waiting will be revealed and come down from heaven, fully built and complete, as it is written, the sanctuary, God, that your hands established. On the other hand, Rambam states that the main identifying sign of the Mashiach will be that he will physically build the third temple in its proper place. Ramchal helps us understand how both opinions express different aspects of the process by which the third temple will come into this world. He writes, in time to come, not only will the heavenly and earthly temples be similar, the upper house will extend until it reaches the lower house, the lower world. This is the meaning of the saying of our rabbis of the third temple will be the work of the hands of God, for the heavenly temple will not be uprooted from its place. Rather, it will extend until it reaches the lower world. Around it, a physical structure will then be built as befits this material world, and the two structures will be joined and become one, and will never again separate. God's glory will be fully revealed there, as it is said, and the glory of God will be revealed, and all the flesh will see. Then there will be complete peace and happiness forever. In other words, a spiritual emanation of the temple will come down into this world from the upper world, and around it the physical reality of the third temple will be built. In explaining Ezekiel's vision of the third temple, Ramchal has indeed brought the idea of the third temple down from heaven into the world. The more that people study and grasp the temple idea, the nearer will they bring the day when humanity will come to its senses, cease its futile cycles of war and destruction, and join together with one accord to worship the one God in the third temple. So you have a simple answer to a complex question. The temple will come down ready-made from the heavens and then be built on earth. How do we reconcile that? We don't. Let's expand out and see what we can reconcile. The next sections are called is called Key Concepts in Mishkané Elyon. As already noted, the Ramchal states the purpose of Mishkané Elyon in his opening words. My purpose in this work is to discuss the subject of the heavenly temple mentioned by our sages, to explain its form and structure in all their various details, and to show how the earthly temple is in direct alignment with it in its structure and all its dimensions. Now I will lay these matters before you in a single, all-inclusive introductory work that will enable you to understand the way the world is run and how God gives each day's portion of food and sustenance to all his creatures, each in its proper time. That's an amazing statement. We don't need to plan for the future. The future is planned for us by God. The primary focus of Mishkané Elyon is on the form of the heavenly temple. But since this is the prototype of the earthly temple, much of what applies to the heavenly temple also applies to the earthly temple. In many passages in Mishkané Elyon, Ramchal speaks simultaneously on a number of different levels, a feat made possible by the richness of Hebrew. The Ramchal explains step by step how the entire heavenly temple, in all its details, emanates from a single place or point. This point exists on a plane that is beyond space as we know it, one that we could perhaps call metaspace in the terminology of religion and Kabbalah. This is the spiritual plane above, as opposed to the material world here below. Indeed, this point, source of the heavenly temple, is ultimately the source of space as we know it. As heavenly place or point corresponds to the Eben Shtiyah, the foundation stone, in the earthly temple, this is the rock on the temple mount that is called the belly of the earth, the place from which the entire earth emanated like a fetus growing around the belly outwards. It is from the heavenly point corresponding to the earthly, Eben Shtiyah, that all the lights that bring the heavenly temple into being shine forth. This point corresponds to the last of the 10 Sephirot, or divine attributes, of which the Kabbalah speaks. This is the Sefirah Malchut, kingly power, through which all the upper Sefirot shine. This Sefirot is also called Shekhinah, the indwelling presence of God. Starting from this point, Ramchal traces the emanation of the heavenly temple, beginning with the Holy of Holies and moving or successfully to the main sanctuary with its gate and vestibule. The surrounding inner temple courtyard with its massive stone sacrificial altar and various chambers, the outer courtyard and its chambers and gates, and finally the Temple Mount. The Ramchal explains the principle governing this choice of route. I will follow the path of the flow of blessing as it emerges from the source and spreads forth on all sides. I begin, therefore, with the place from which it emerges, and I will tell you in which direction it travels after leaving there, and which path it takes at the beginning and which path it takes at the end. Shefa is the name of the next section. What is Shefa? God's beneficence. I am going to call it an early night. There's a lot of this material, but Shefa is a subject that takes a lot of concentration, and I'm not feeling the upper energy to have that conversation yet. I wish you all well, and we'll speak to each other shortly. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful evening.